Good morning, everyone. I'm going to pray and then we'll dive straight in. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that you are present. Thank you that this morning is all about you. Father, I ask that ahead of this short talk, anything that's of me will be lost and forgotten. Everything that's of you, Holy Spirit, will remain. That you will plant your seeds of love this morning. That you will speak into hearts and into minds, that you will bring freedom, that you will bring light, you will bring encouragement, you will bring love. In the name of Jesus, amen. So we've been doing this series in 1 John called Can I Be Sure? And so this week we're moving on and we're going to be in, if you want to get ready, we're in 1 John chapter 5 this week. And we're just looking at the verses 9 to 15. And the question we're looking at this week is, how can I be sure that I have eternal life? So, an interesting one. But before we start and go into that, I think it's quite important for us to work out or be sure in our own minds, well then, what is eternal life? What is it that we're talking about when we say eternal life? So just literally, just for a moment, I want you to close your eyes and someone says the words to you, I would say eternal life, what comes to mind for you? For many people, their minds jump straight away to it's something to do with what happens after we die. And then thoughts turn to some kind of a heaven. And quite often, you know, you get this cliche of like the cloud and the halo, which we'll go into in a moment. But the words eternal life and heaven sort of become intermingled. They kind of become a bit interchangeable. Someone talks about eternal life or being in heaven or doing somehow existing after our bodies have died. But actually, heaven and eternal life are two very separate things. Because heaven is a place, whereas eternal life is a state of being. I'll go into that more in a moment. But heaven is a place. And absolutely not like this cute old cartoon I put. I just love that. It just made me laugh. Him sitting on a cloud all by himself going, I wish I'd brought a magazine. That is not what heaven is like. Now, I'd love to talk about heaven more this morning. There's not time. So therefore, if you want to know what heaven is actually like, then take a quick picture of this or ask me afterwards for these references and look them up for yourself. Ezekiel 1 and Revelation 4 and 5 and 21 and 22. They will blow your mind about heaven as a place. But this morning we are talking about eternal life, which is something we have. It's what we have within us rather than a place that we go to. So with that in mind, we're going to go to our reading in 1 John. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater. Because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony that God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. So this passage makes it very, very clear at the very start that the source of eternal life is Jesus. Just Jesus. Ooh. Oh, yeah, sorry. Back to verse 11 again. It says this: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. This eternal life that we are given is in Jesus, Jesus himself. Because God is eternal life. He has eternal life. God is ongoing, constant, forever. These are big concepts. I mean, they blow our minds because we're creatures of time. So it's hard to get our brain around this. Just something, a personality, a God who just never ends. But this is who and what he is and what he has. And God, eternal. And we know, when we go back into the Genesis story, that when man and woman were first created, they were given the option to share in that eternal life. But they chose to go their own way. And by doing that, they brought sin into this world. And alongside sin, they brought death in. So then death created this divide between us and God. So you have God, the eternal, but then you have us living now in a mortal world where we decay, where there is death. But God wasn't prepared to let that stand. He loves us too much. He adores us. So in the form of Jesus, God became man. Jesus brought that eternal life of God into our broken world, our dying world. He came to show us who he is. And he said of himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus said that about himself. "I am the life. I am eternal life. And I bring this to you." But as we know, Jesus was rejected. His body was killed. And when he was killed, he took death into himself, but not just death, but all our sin, all our wrongdoing, everything upon himself. He saw death the way that we will see death on our bodies. But Jesus is God. Jesus continued to have that eternal life. He came back to life to show us the way, to show us that through him, his eternal life is available to all of us. He showed himself to his disciples and to friends before he ascended to heaven, the place, to show an eternal future for them, an eternal future for us. We've just been singing about it. One of those songs. He's prepared a place for us. He's gone ahead of us. He is eternal. But we too can know that through him. We can know his eternal life. And in verses 12 and 13, if you look back in your Bibles, it shows how this works for us. Because in verse 13, this is where it's just a little bit teachery. But in verse 13, when we read it in English, it says, "I write these things to you who believe in the Son of God." Now in the Greek, in the ancient Greek, the word in is en, which is just like we would like in something. If you believe in something, a fact about something, "I believe that Grace has come back from New York." En. I believe in that. It's a fact. But actually, in this bit, John didn't use the N. He used another tiny little word called eis. And it's another in, but it means into. It means believing into something. So, in fact, the translators, if they were doing it more accurately, they'd have said, "I write these things to you who believe into the name of Jesus." Now, for us, that's pretty bad grammar. But what it's saying is it's more than just agreeing with facts. It's not just those who believe in the fact of Jesus, but it's those who believe into him Think about a parachute all folded up by your feet, but at this point you're standing on solid ground. You're on the earth and you're looking at this beautiful parachute that someone's given you. You can say, yes, I believe in this parachute. I believe in the fact that this is a parachute. I believe in the fact that this parachute will work. That should somebody jump out of an aeroplane with it, I believe that it will do it. But I'm going to stay on Earth. I'm not going to test it. I'm staying here. But I still believe in the parachute. But I'm keeping my feet very firmly on ground. And between you and me, if this was a real life situation, yes, there is no way I would be going anywhere in an aeroplane. My feet are staying here. But believing in two is being in the aeroplane, wearing that parachute, and jumping. At that point, you are believing into the parachute because you have just put your entire life on the line. You are now believing that this bit of fabric strapped to your back is going to save your life. Do you see the difference? That is believing into. You believe into that parachute because your whole life now depends on it. When we believe into Jesus, it means that we're believing into him as our saviour. We don't just agree with the facts of him or go, oh yes, I agree that, you know, blah, 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 but I'm not going to do anything about it. No, when we believe into Jesus, it means we take him on board as our saviour, as our teacher, as our king. We trust our whole selves to him. We surrender our entire life to him. We accept his complete lordship over our lives. That's the into. And then we move on to verse 12, and it then tells us, those of us that believe into Jesus, whoever has the Son has life. And again, that has, that's not just somebody who's aware of who Jesus is. This is somebody who has an intimate relationship with Jesus, who has the deepest of all friendships with him, who is soaked in love and awe and worship for Jesus. That you say to somebody, you know, like, you know, Brighton, if you get rock, I was going to say Brighton rock, but if you get rock from the seaside and it has like the word inside it, and you said, if I was a piece of rock and you snapped me to read what it said inside, it would say Jesus. That's having Jesus. Those who have the Son have life, have eternal life. He places his eternal life into us through the Holy Spirit. And he does that now. We still live in our mortal bodies. But he places his eternal life and his Holy Spirit within us. So we have a constant connection with God through the Holy Spirit. I was thinking of it in terms of one of those old-fashioned diving suits with the big helmet and the hose pipe that goes all the way up to the surface where there's somebody up there hopefully pumping air like crazy. So when you're underwater, you can still breathe. It's your lifeline. And that's like us right now. We are still in the mortal world. Our lives are decaying. I'm getting grey hairs. It's just disgraceful. I'm like, this is a bit of an aside, but have you noticed how, this is just to the older folks now, you young ones, you're not going to understand this yet. Just you wait. But you get to a point where it just, you kind of know mentally that you're going to get old and age. But when it happens, isn't it a shock? I mean, it's like, I can't believe, I've got a grey hair. Well, duh. Peter is stroking his shiny area. He's saying, I'd love to have a grey hair. I haven't got any at all. You glance in the mirror and you go, where'd those wrinkles come from? And then, you know, I'm like, oh, I need some new cream or something, or I don't know, a bit of sticky tape, just something to, it shocks us. I was in our growth group, I was complaining about the fact that I was getting a bit squidgy in certain places. And Carol just laughed at me in a kind of like a wah-ha kind of way, like, it's your age. Ha ha ha, things change, things move when you get older. I was like, how rude. But the point is that the reason that it's a shock to us is because there's something within us. We're programmed for eternity. We're not actually programmed for death and decay. We're programmed to live forever. So age feels like a bit of a shock. When someone dies, even when it's expected, even when it's at the end of a long, hard illness and we know it's coming, or somebody just, they're very old. My friend's grandmother, she died this week, 106. Bring it on, 106, and fit 106 too. I mean, she was amazing. And you'd think, well, she's had a good innings. It's about time, you know, let someone else breathe the oxygen. But it still came as a shock because we're programmed for eternity. We're programmed to live. Sorry, Nate, it's looking at me. We're programmed to live an eternal life. So this connection we have with God through the Holy Spirit, we have that eternity now, even though we are aging and dying. He is our present reality and our future hope. And if the leadership let me, I would love to come and preach about heaven another time, about the future hope. But right now we're talking about eternal life, which is now as well as the future. It is so exciting. Because the more that we, in a sense, breathe him in, the more we are aware of this connection we have with Jesus through the Holy Spirit, through the Bible, through worship, through listening to him, through speaking to him, through just being still at times and being aware of him. Thank you, Lydia, for talking about that, sitting at his feet and just breathing. She was talking this morning, just feeling God's heartbeat. The more we do that, the more we gradually change and we become like Jesus. His love fills us. Those people who in the past we would cross the road, frankly, to avoid, we find God's love welling up within us for them. I'm not suggesting we're going to go and hug them just yet, but we find ourselves praying blessing over them. Like Melody sharing about a yearning for us to be this light on a hill, to share the love of Jesus with others, that grows within us. Our compassion grows. Our characters change. In fact, we should be seeing this change. We should be aware of this. We should be aware that, based, say, on a year ago, if you've already known Jesus, say, from last year to this year, even if we're not aware in ourselves, others should be seeing that change in us. We're getting more patient. We're getting more loving. We're getting kinder. We're becoming humbler because Jesus is changing us, the eternal reality in us, that we are becoming like him. And because of that, then his love flows out of us and through us. Our perspective changes. Because if we have this eternal perspective, the things around us, they take their proper place. Our worries, our concerns, our circumstances. We then see them in the light of eternity. We see Jesus' power in them and over them. We can say, I'm not enjoying this right now, but it's just a season. Because I have an eternal perspective. This isn't all there is. Things are not always going to be the way they are now. And also we are given his power, this eternal perspective, this eternal connection, this Holy Spirit that he puts in us, his personality, the person of the Holy Spirit, makes us an atmosphere changer. It means without even opening your mouth, you can go into your workplace tomorrow and you change the atmosphere in that place because you take the power of Jesus into that place. Do you believe that? Yeah. Do you know that as a truth? Because this is a fact. You carry his light and his power and his glory. You go into Costa Coffee tomorrow, the atmosphere in Costa Coffee will change while you are there because you are carrying the Holy Spirit within you into that place. You are taking his peace and his joy and his love. It means when you get the opportunity to speak, you get to be an encouragement to others. You get to be a hope bringer, a joy giver. You actually impart Holy Spirit life to others in your day-to-day living. You are blessed and others are blessed. And that's why John says in verse 14, we have confidence in approaching God. We don't have to go in groveling. We don't have to wait for an appointment to see the King of the universe and to spend time with him. As his children, we have the right to walk into the throne room, climb onto his lap and demand a cuddle and have a chat. Now, if that suddenly to you feels a little bit, whoa, that's a step too far. That's a bit much. I'm going to put some other passages up in a moment for us to see. It doesn't mean any less awe and wonder. It doesn't mean that we are being irreverent. It doesn't mean that we are unaware of his holiness and his glory and his power, because we are. And with reverence and awe, we do this, but we are still given the right to climb into his lap metaphorically and demand a cuddle because he loves us as his children. If you want to know more about being God's beloved child, read Galatians 4, 5 and 7 this week and let it soak into you. Because I know there will be people here who are thinking, I can't do that, that's too much. God can't love me that much. He does. Meditate on these two verses, on these verses. Let them soak into your heart. And know that you are a beloved child of God with eternal life within you. So if we look at our checklist, back to our question, how can I be sure that I have eternal life? Question one, do I believe what God says about eternal life? Do I believe him? Question two, do I believe into Jesus and love him? Question three, am I aware of the Holy Spirit at work in my mind, in my heart, and in my life? If we can say yes to those three questions, then yes, we can be sure that we have eternal life. It's not about how we feel, because feelings come and go. It's not about our circumstances, because circumstances change. It is about the fact and the reality of God's love in us. And yes, we have eternal life and we will never lose that eternal life. You may know that you have eternal life. If for any reason, quite honestly in your heart or your mind, you answered no to one of those three questions, don't panic. Talk to God about it. Grab someone that you know and trust from here, who you know belongs to Jesus. Talk to them about it. Pursue it. Because even if you're saying no to one of those now, doesn't mean that's the way it's always going to be. You too can have and be sure that you have eternal life. So in closing, I want to pray a blessing over us based on Ephesians 3. And we can say yes together. Yes, Lord. Yes to your Holy Spirit. Yes to your power. Yes to your transforming in our lives. Yes to your glory. So, if you're happy to, please pray with me and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, from your glorious riches, I ask that you would strengthen each one of us with your Holy Spirit power in our inner being, so that Jesus would be the center of our hearts. Please root and establish our lives in love. Give us the power to understand how wide, how high, how deep your love is for us. May we experience Jesus's love that goes so far beyond our understanding, so that we can be made complete with all the fullness of your eternal life. To you be all praise and glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.